من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي ساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، ألا إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. My brothers and sisters, the issue today that inshallah we are going to deal with is the اختلاف or خلاف بين العلماء, the differences of opinion that you will find among the ulama. Okay, and we will discuss that issue in much more, inshallah, in much more detail between the ulama. Asbabuhu, the reasons for such an ikhtilaf or differences of opinion among them. Wa mawqifuna minhum, and our position with regards to it. First, we have to clear the air and we have to establish the position of Islam. Remember, it came to an Arab people with the advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It came to an Arab people who were broken up into qabail, and there were fights and rifts and squalors between them. And Islam came and it united the voice of the Arab. Whether it was the Quraysh or it was any of the other qabail, it united their voices on تحت راية التوحيد, under the flag of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It put together and united the words of the Muslims at that time, people who came from diverse cultures and people who came from different directions and perspectives, and it brought them together under one flag, and it united their sufuf and their ranks. After the passing of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that the time of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen, that this beautiful unity and coalition, if you want to call it that, it continued until their time. And this tabaqa al-musharrafa, this beautiful age, you find that it continued into the time of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen. And what you would find happening is that everyone was referring back to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it continued like this after the passing of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a period of about 200 years. Then you had, after this time, you had the coming of the Imams, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He passed on, he died in the year 150 after the Hijrah. And you find that in their times, or after the times of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen, coming into the time of the Imams, you find that there was a taqeed that was taking place. There was a narrowing down in views, and people started to look at their particular madhab and their particular school of thought. You would find that certain people started to have what you call parochial views, and looking to their companions and looking to the people who were around them for interpretations to this deen. Alright? Rather than having to look outside of that and stuck to one particular view and one viewpoint. What happened after that was a kind of diaspora and a kind of splitting up of peoples in terms of their opinions. And you find that people leaned from the east and the west, they leaned in particular directions. And these peoples, they started to take on their own views, and they became muta'assib, they became narrow-minded and dogmatic in their views. And all of this, in the gradual passage of time, all of this took place. And so you would find that people would have certain positions where they would prefer to take from one particular madhab and they will leave off the positions of other madhahib. You find that people now would have fallen into three basic categories, whether it was that time or whether it is this, with regards to their conditions. One, you would have somebody who is referred to as a mujtahid. He is either a mutlaq mujtahid, or he is a mujtahid as far as his madhab is concerned, or he is a mujtahid as far as fatawa is concerned. Let's look at that in a little detail. A mujtahid who is mutlaq is somebody who would consider not one particular madhab, but he has that ability to go back to the Quran and Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf in such a way that he's not narrowed and he's not limited to the understanding of his particular Sheikh. Mutlaq, absolute. He has that open view to be able to look at it and doesn't confine himself to one particular school of thought. The one who is the mujtahid al-madhab, this is the one who confines himself to one particular madhab and he's an expert in that field, and that all of his answers would take that particular lean or that particular direction, the direction of his madhab. It does not mean to say that he is muta'assib, but that it means that he has studied and he has become proficient in that madhab and this is what he knows. And he fears Allah just like everyone, just like the mujtahid al-mutlaq. And then you have a mujtahid who will be dealing with fatawa. He would be giving fatawa and people would be coming and asking him questions. And he would answer the questions to his best ability and to his best understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf. And he will also look at the conditions of that particular person. So he has done ijtihad to suit the questioner. So you have three types of mujtahid here. That is the first category. Secondly, you have, instead of the mujtahid, you have the muttabi', that person or that individual who follows the qawl or the position of an alim. He follows an alim not for the sake of the alim, but the sake of the dalil. He's looking for the dalil. So he's a muttabi' of the dalil. He's following the dalil that this alim presents. And the final group, which all of us know very well and is the most preponderant and the most predominant, is the muqallid, that person who just follows blindly. La ilaha illallah. And so the mujtahid, he's not, you don't find fault with him because of the position that he has taken, no. Because he has done his ijtihad, and as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمْ فَاجْتَهَدَ وَأَصَّابْ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. That if the hakim, he has placed or he has made a judgment on the basis of ijtihad, فَأَصَّابْ, and he is correct. Now, increase that volume there. If I increase my voice more than that, by the end of the three sessions, inshallah, I wouldn't have a voice. Okay, it's better now. Can it be heard? He's still hearing. Fine. Okay. The second, so that he إذا حكم الحاكم فاجتهد وأصاب فله أجران. So that the hakim who makes that judgment on the basis of ijtihad, then he has two rewards. وَإِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمْ فَاجْتَهَدَ وَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. And if the hakim, he makes his ijtihad, remember that is the quality here, he's making that ijtihad and he's making the effort and he's searching and he's researching, and he makes a mistake on the basis of that ijtihad, then he has one ajr. So you can't find fault with him. You can't say that, hey, he makes a mistake, therefore he has led the people astray and we are all going into the hellfire, because no. Because he had made his ijtihad, he has one of two ajr, either two or one. Wallahi alhamd. So that this muttabi al-haqiq, so the person who is following now and he is the true follower, he is taking from the imam, as we said before, or he's taking from the alim on the basis of the dalil that he is following, this muttabi', this follower, and he's not taking only from, or he's not taking from the opinion of the alim as such, but on the basis of the dalil. In other words, if he was to find the dalil that is stronger with another alim, this is where he would go, because he is a muttabi' of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not the alim per se. And the muqallid, his madhab or his particular position is the position of the alim to whom he has sought the fatwa from. Alright, so he might take it from one particular person or from another, and whoever he takes it from, he is sufficient with the position or what the alim has to say, regardless of the dalil. He has no concern with that. Or we say basically, you know, not concerned with that, but that he's looking for a fatwa for the problem, a solution for the problem that he has. So I hope we see the difference between the three categories of people, that mujtahid, and then afterwards the muttabi', who's looking for the dalil, and the other one, the muqallid, that person who is just looking for an answer to his question. Whether the dalil is there or it is not there, whether it's sahih or da'if, whatever it is, his position is that of the madhab of the alim. What is the importance of this particular mawdu', of this particular issue? Is it important? Is it important for us to study this issue? From this issue, when we study it, we can see very clearly those people who are mutatarrif, or those people who are extremist, and those people who take dogmatic positions, and those whose positions are based on proof, without emotion or emotional attachment. Very important. Okay? You have students of Islamic knowledge who would take positions from the various madhahib, and if they were to hear of a position of another madhab, they would not take it because it does not belong to their madhab, subhanAllah, even though the position or even though the evidence would be with that other madhab. And we're talking about tulab al-ilm, we're talking about students of Islamic knowledge, ya akhi. Because that madhab goes against them. If they belong, let us say, to the Maliki school of thought. And if they were to belong to the Maliki school of thought, it means that if there is a Hanafi position that is correct, he couldn't care. If there was a Hanbali position that was correct and more correct than his, he couldn't care. Because he was a Maliki. La ilaha illallah. Now that may be the case in the case of the Muqallid, the one who is doing Taqlid. But for Talib al-Ilm, and this is a problem that you find and we find among students of Islamic knowledge, those who may have even graduated from universities after having studied. You find also too that there may be a because of the fitrah, because of, you know, that kind of innocence and wanting to hold on to something when you don't know anything else, and holding on to that position, not wanting to shift from it to another, because, you know, this is all that you know, has led in many cases to students to take positions and not wanting to change from it. This is what they were brought up on, even though they had studied and they understand that another position is better. Ya Akhir Kareem, subhanAllah, in Medina, you'd find a group of students who would come and study, and even though they have discussed the area of where you put the hands in the performance of prayer, they would not change for anything. And these students, graduates, and they are, mashaAllah, they are Mumtaz students, they are excellent. They would go and pray in one place in the Prophet's masjid, directly behind the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Why? Because the qabr or the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in that house. And they would pray nowhere else in the haram. Subhanallah. After having studied 5 and 6 and 10 years, and you are not willing to shift to anywhere else in the Prophet's masjid? Why? Questions start to arise. So you find, my brothers, that when students of Islamic knowledge take these kind of positions, it will place a great deal of narrowness and narrow-mindedness on the part of those people who follow them. It would make life very difficult for them. It will limit their scope of ijtihad and their ability to bring the truth to the people, to one particular madhab, subhanAllah. And so we need to look at, you know, the various types of tulab and the positions that they take, and see, you know, how we can remedy this type of situation. Look at the positions of students of Islamic knowledge, people who have studied, students who have gone through the ropes. And they would have had maybe 4 and 5 and 10 and 20 and 40 positions that they would have studied in one particular mas'ala. And listen to some of the kinds of things that Sheikh Atiyah Salim had to say concerning students who have passed through universities, the things that they say. That if a musafir, somebody who is traveling, and he leads the prayer, and he leads those people who follow behind, that if he shortens his prayer, the people who follow the prayer and who are in the line behind, that they have to shorten their prayer also. Student of Islamic knowledge is saying this. We're not talking about a muqallid now, somebody who has studied. This is incorrect. That the person who has shortened his prayer, and he is the leader of the prayer, he shortens it, but the person who stands behind, he completes his prayer if he's a muqeem, somebody who is living in the area. There are students of Islamic knowledge, after having studied the three types of Hajj, At-Tamattu, Al-Qiran, and Al-Mufrid, or Al-Mufrad, that they would say after that there is no other type of Hajj except At-Tamattu. Because, and they would put forward their reasons, subhanAllah, as if they have not even read the position or the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah concerning it, and the appropriateness of all three in various conditions. And they say this is the case unless somebody is living close by and he comes with his animal. As I say, he's living in Medina, he brought his animal, then he performs the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ because he brought his animal and he does a Qiran Hajj. La ilaha illallah. Without wanting to look at the others. That if blood, they would say, blood that has been poured forth from an animal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in Quran as being one of those four categories of things that are made haram. Al-mayta, the dead animal. Wad-dam al-masfuh, the blood that has been poured forth. Wal-lahm al-khinzir, and the flesh of swine. وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ, and that which has been slaughtered to a name other than the name of Allah. And you have students of Islamic knowledge saying what? That this dam is pure and this dam is clean. La ilaha illallah. And goes, it conflicts directly with Quran. You have students of Islamic knowledge saying, now why it is we are identifying these situations, ya akhi, so that inshallah we would see the haqiqah, we see the truth of what is happening in the Islamic world, those who have gone and studied and come back, and we venerate them and we give them respect and so on. And they in many cases have to check their positions and ensure that their positions are that which is authentic. 1. 2, it is an encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, to start to study your deen and start to study your Islam, so that you would know what is the haqiqah, you would know what is the truth in the issues. You have students of Islamic knowledge who say that if a man has relationship with his wife and nothing flows, meaning that he does not consummate the relationship, out of not wanting to say something shameful, it doesn't finish, in other words, nothing comes from his body, nothing pours forth, that is not wajib upon him to perform a ghusl, subhanAllah.
Subhanallah.
Now, you realize that I'm not going into the detail of these particular issues, but that the correct position, this was so in the beginning of Islam, but what happens in a situation like this is that as long as there is there is sexual relationship, then it becomes wajib on the two parties that they should perform ghusl. The other one, I feel a little shame in, I thought there was going to be brothers alone. I cannot repeat the other one that I have here. Al-Jumu'ah. The Jumu'ah, you cannot perform it with a particular number of people. Subhanallah. That if, you know, whatever the number is, if you have one or two people, if you just have one person, that you can still have Salatul Jumu'ah. And that if somebody was to come late, or he has missed a Jumu'ah, he still performs two rak'ah of prayer. Subhanallah. You miss Salatul Jumu'ah, you perform four rak'ah. Salatul Dhuhr. And you have students of Islamic knowledge who will say, perform two rak'ah, because it is Yawmul Jumu'ah. They would say concerning this position that, hey, you know, I have read four ahadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, mashallah, that say that, you know, this is the case, that you have to perform Salatul Jumu'ah. You must perform two rak'ats and you do not perform four, subhanallah. However, the student of Islamic knowledge is required to, that if after you have read a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to consult what? To look at the shuruh and to check what the ulama have had to say, the ulama of the past have had to say, because they are the ones who are capable of doing the jama'ah, of bringing these ahadith together and clarifying the positions. And probably there are ahadith that you did not see, or that there were ahadith that you read that even though it is sahih, it was abrogated and you did not find it, you did not realize the correct position by actually reading it. And so I'd like to look at the two words, al-mukhalafa and the word al-ikhtilaf. Al-mukhalafa is different to the word ikhtilaf. And you would find al-mukhalafa, that particular, the use of that term comes from, would be understood when we look at Nuh alayhi salam and his son. When Nuh said to his son, Ya bunayya rakab ma'ana, he said to his son, come and ride with us in the ark. And what was the response of the son? He said, Sa'awi ila jabalin yu'asimuni min al-ma'. He said, I will find a mountain that is going to protect me from all of this water. Conflict of interest, but one takes one position and the other one takes another. And there is no unity and there is no coalition between the two. What about ikhtilaf? The ikhtilaf between two people or two situations, you can see easily in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he is reported to have said, Allahumma rabba Jibra'il wa Mika'ila wa Israfil fatira as-samawati wal ard anta tahkuma bayna 'ibadika fi ma kanu fihi yakhtalifun ihdini limakhtalifa fihi min al-haqq bi idhnik innaka tahdi man tasha'u ila siratin mustaqim. It's a beautiful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say when he wake up to perform his tahajjud prayer, or some reports have it that he would say it in his fajr prayer. Allahumma rabba Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil, I think that is understood. Fatira as-samawati wal ard, the one who originated the heavens and the earth. Anta tahkuma bayna 'ibadika, wallahi, you are the one who judges between your ibad fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun, and what they have differences of opinion in. In other words, you, O Allah, judge between us who have a little ikhtilaf or differences, so that we can coalesce and we can come together. La ilaha illallah. Fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. Ihdini limakhtulifa fihi min al-haqq bi-ithnik. Guide me to what people have had differences of opinion in. لِمَخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِكَ, from the truth, بِإِذْنِكَ, by your will. innaka tahdi man tasha'u ila siratin mustaqim, that you guide wallah onto the straight path. You will find the situation also of ikhtilaf coming up between Sulaiman and his father Dawood. In the question concerning the harf and concerning the land, and we'll look at that issue inshallah in a little bit more detail when the time is right.